All right, Proverbs 18:24. 2 weeks ago, we started a new series called Uncommon Sense, Making Sense Out of Doing Life Together. And we're exploring this idea of relationships and wisdom. So much of the book of Proverbs, so much of the wisdom that Solomon sought to hand down to his son, Solomon, the wisest man the Bible says that ever lived, sought to unpack for his son when he wrote this book, had to do with relationships. Not all of it, but a lot of it did. Now, in this series, so far, we talked the first week about how stuff rubs off. In other words, how to pursue the right kind of relationships, because who you're around makes a big impact on who you become. So if you have wise friends, you'll be wise. If you have godly friends, it'll encourage you. And then we talked about how to change friendships, or maybe how to end the wrong kind of relationships. Last week, we talked about the wisdom of community, seeking counsel from godly people and how to filter it. Today, that brings us to this proverb, Proverbs 18:24. Now, you have to look real careful at it, because as we read it together, it may sound different than what it's actually saying, but look at it closely with me. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. Well, that, how can that happen? That seems strange. A man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I've got a question for you. If you were to die today, how many friends would be at your funeral? Not family. Family doesn't count. They're obligated to be there. If they're not there, they get cut off the Christmas list, right? How many friends would be there? Sometimes in pastoring, when a loved one passes away and we're working with the family, sometimes we ask, because either we're going to prepare food or we're trying to figure out the right location to have the event, we have to ask the question, how many people do you think are going to be here? And when you ask that question, sometimes you'll get a response from maybe a 56-year-old wife who suddenly lost a 57-year-old husband, and she says, oh, my husband never knew a stranger. Everybody he met loved him, and friends from high school will be there, and he worked at a large company, and so everybody from work will be there, and he coached in sports leagues, and those families will be there, and his golf buddies will be there, and the neighbors will be there, and maybe two adult children are sitting there going, oh yeah, everybody loved Dad, they'll be there, and there'll be 300 to 400 people at least. And then the day of the funeral comes, and you arrive, and there's maybe 110 people, and 75 of them are family. And then a strange thing happens. After the graveside, the family sometimes almost goes through a second round of grieving that was unexpected, and the family, maybe you hear it in questions that aren't direct. Where were all of Dad's friends at? Where were all the people that we thought would be here? And Solomon said, a man of too many friends may come to ruin. In other words, a man of too many friends can have a huge disappointment come their way. They think they're friends, and maybe they're not friends in the I'm coming to your funeral sense. What is a true friend? A true friend is a person that knows you and you know them. Friendship is where you're known and you know. It's where the mask comes off and you don't have to pretend anymore, because you already know each other's flaws, you already know each other's quirky ways, and despite all that, you still accept each other. Despite all that, you still love each other, you know each other's faults, but you decide to be friends anyway, and you put the other person's interest in front of yours, you decide to serve your friend, you celebrate each other, you go to each other's events, you make each other's life events important, you put that person in front of yourself. Friendship is a huge deal. And there are different types of friends. I just want to give you a few categories this morning. One I would say is called circumstantial friends, if you want to write these down. Circumstantial friends. In other words, when you say hi to somebody at the hallway, or you bump into the lady at the checkout at the grocery store because you always shop at the same place and you go through her line, or you bump into somebody at church, or our kids play on the same ball team together, sports team, and so we see you at the field a lot, two or three, four times a week, and these are friendly people and we're friendly with them. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, are we really friends? Are we really friends, or do we just happen to be sharing the same circumstances? Now think about that question. Are they coming to your funeral? Sometimes a true friend can be found through common circumstances. In other words, you go through something together, you share that scenario you didn't expect to, you come out the other end and you're friends. And that friendship tends to stick through the changes of life. But more often than not, those kind of friends come and go. You go to the grocery store one day and the lady that always checked you out's gone, and you don't know where she went, and you think, well, I wonder what happened to her. Or you go to the sports field and the family that sat by you the last 3 years isn't there anymore, but there's another family there now, and you think, well, I wonder where they went. I wonder what happened to them. But you don't look any deeper than that. Now, these friendships aren't fake. They're not insincere. But you need to realize that these kind of friends come and go. What brought you together might have been a business agreement. What brought you together might have been a life stage. What brought you together might have been a common service. And when that's over, the likelihood is you'll never see the person again. So be friendly, but be careful about counting them in your attendance projection at your funeral. It might not be there. I'm not saying that circumstantial friends don't matter. I think circumstantial friends matter a whole lot. And I think we should be loving and we should be friendly and we should be servant-hearted toward circumstantial friends. And to be honest with you, I think tons of ministry happens among circumstantial friends. Places that you come to and relationships you come to because of circumstances. And I think God oftentimes fills those circumstances with divine appointments. And I think for those people, you love them and you are friendly and you invite them to church and you tell them about your relationship with God and you share God's love. But if you count them among your closest friends, Proverbs says that that could lead to ruin. That could lead to disappointment someday. So there are circumstantial friends. And then there's a deeper category of friends where the relationship is deeper. It's on a different level. I would call it true friendship. But I think even among the majority of our true friends, that many of those relationships are seasonal. So I would call them seasonal friends. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And then it lists in the next 7 verses all those different occasions. And I think sometimes even the truest friends that we have may be relationships that last a season, but not all seasons. And I had to learn this the hard way, because I entered ministry wide-eyed and wide open and naive and, ears pinned back to the wall, ready to go. And when I entered with a tender heart, and when I envisioned the way that church would be and relationships would be, I pictured it in a way that we would just all be together forever. And the first few times a loved friend would move away or change jobs or change churches, it just left my heart raw. It just ripped my heart out. And my mentality was, let's just squish in here, get as tight as we can get, hold on for the ride of our life, and one day we'll share stories sitting in a nursing home together slobbering on checkers. And if we don't have good stories, we'll make them up and nobody will know the difference. And it'll be a blast. But the longer I'm around, the more I realize that even some of our best friendships might be seasonal. Maybe 20 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 30 years, but still seasonal. For some reason or another, our friendship deck just gets reshuffled every now and then. Maybe it's nobody's fault. Maybe it's just life circumstances. I mean, people retire. They move away to care for aging parents. They move to be close to grandchildren. My wife and I have moved a few times and left loved friends behind. There were times we were the one that changed. And I think it's a mistake to believe that relationships, that you can know that a relationship's permanent. You may have relationships that are permanent. I just think it's a mistake to think you know that they are. Maybe they're not. But I don't think that should make you cautious, and I don't think that should make you skeptical. In other words, don't live with the regret of realizing it was a seasonal friendship after it's over. Too many times we look back and think, if I had only known that this friendship was going to end, if I had only known that this was for a season, I would have taken more advantage. I would have spent more time. I would have shared my heart more freely. I would have expressed gratitude more often. Let's don't look back and look at those things that way. Look now into your present relationships and realize that the friendships you have today may be seasonal. Look forward thinking that. This is a better way to think about it. God has glued our heart together for this time in our church. He has glued our heart together for this time in our own lives. No one knows how long this season will last, but let's receive it as a gift from God. So let's lean in and enjoy it. Let's give our whole heart to it. Let's squeeze every drop of potential out of it. And if this season should ever end for whatever reason, let's get down on our knees and thank God that He let us do this leg of the race together. But man, let's live and take advantage of every moment, because we just don't know the future. I can remember when my wife and I lived in Gulfport, Mississippi. There was a couple in the church that was older. And when we moved there, one of their sons was a pastor. Actually, two of their kids were in ministry. And when we came into town, for some reason or another, they adopted us. They just grabbed us and held on to us. And they had been faithful and godly people for decades. And it reached out and loved on a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people. And they just glued to us. And I can remember as they were aging, they actually were so committed to the church, they built a house around the corner from that church. And they decided they were going to spend the rest of their life in that. And if you knew Paul, when he said it, he meant it. God gave us this house and I built it with my own hands. And He gave us this church and I'm committed. I'm going to die here. And his kids could move to Hawaii or the moon or next door as far as he cared. He was going to be there. That was it. And I could remember in their 70s, just the kind of people, every time I saw them walking down the hallway, I just opened my arms. Because I said, oh, good. Here's Paul and Joyce, and I love them, and they're the sweetest, and thank God for them. They were prayer warriors and saints and so encouraging to us. Lifted us up, and I can remember the day he called and said, I want to talk to you. My wife and I feel like we need to make a change. And so we went over to their house, and he told me that he felt like he and his wife wanted to move up to Illinois where their son pastored. And man, it just tore my... I mean, we hadn't known one another for 40 years or anything like that, but the relationship, mostly the generosity that they extended to us. I don't know that we had anything to give them, but the joy that they brought to our life, it just tore my heart out. And I can remember standing in their living room and just crying, but the reality and the truth coming to my soul, and I said, you know, the truth is, if I had parents like you, I would want them to move to where I was. And God bless you, and this decision is right. And we support you in it, and we love you, and it tears our heart out. But we love you, and this is right. And don't you think for a minute that this is not right. And I know you feel conflicted, and you planted roots here, and you've been here for decades, and you had no intention to move, but we want you to go in peace, and we want you to be blessed. And we want you to know that we love you and support you, even though it hurts. And we stood there and just cried. Just all of us, all just cried in their living room. And it was the right decision. He was a very prayerful man. Just a few months, I don't remember, maybe 3 months, 4 months, Hurricane Katrina came and wiped that area out. And they were at the age, they couldn't have rebuilt in that environment. He had some health problems. And so I know that God led him. I know that he did. And there are those relationships that for different reasons are seasonal. There are friends we have because of circumstances. There are friends we have that are seasonal. Then there are lifelong friends. There are those friends that are kind of here to the end. I can remember about 10 years ago, I got the opportunity to sit with Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. I'll never forget this moment. We had breakfast in a room with maybe 20 pastors. And it was a leadership group, and I remember sitting at the table, the breakfast table in their little apartment down in Orlando, and they had this big long table squished in this little living room, and these guys at it. I didn't know most of the people. Most of us came from different parts of the country, but I looked across from me, and there were these two guys, two older guys. They were probably close to 80, and they were sitting there, and they were quiet, never said a word, and just looked around, and I thought, well, I wonder, because this group's kind of younger pastors, I wonder what their deal is. Do they pastor? What are they doing here? And in the middle of breakfast, Bill Bright tells a story, and he tells who these two guys are. And he says, this is so-and-so. He owned a furniture business in Los Angeles in 1952, and God called him to partner with us in ministry, and he sold it, and he joined our team in ministry. And we've ministered together since 1952. This was about 2004. And then another guy over here, and these were the quietest, you had no idea who they were, humble men. And I looked at that story and I went, oh, God, give that to me one day. that these friendships, there are those people, there are those occasions where you may have a friendship that goes from here to the end. The most famous friendship in the Bible is between David and Jonathan. And the Bible describes a love and a respect that they had for each other that was so close that they agreed that they would not only commit themselves to each other for the rest of their life, but they agreed that if something happened, either one of them should die early, that the other one would take care of their children and grandchildren. And one of them did die early. And the other one did take care of his children and grandchildren. And those friendships are remarkable. And if you have one of those from here to the end kind of friendships, you think, it's a huge gift from God if any of us ever have one. It's a huge gift. And if you have one of those going, can I just encourage you today, please handle it with care, because it's a rare and a beautiful treasure, and the truth is they'll be at your funeral and you'll be at theirs. Proverbs 20 verse 6 in the New Living Translation says, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who's truly reliable? Many will say they are loyal. In other words, talk is cheap. People can claim anything they want to claim, right? It's easy to say something. I mean, just watch commercials. You're just spouting stuff out there all the time, promises after promises. But to find one who's truly reliable, isn't that really what we all want, is loyalty and friendship, somebody we can really count on? I remember about 10 years ago, I did a funeral for this lady whose mom had passed away. And man, it was really a sad thing. It was a double loss for her. This funeral was a big mess. She had lost her mom, and I'm telling you, this lady who's nearly in her middle 40s, it was wrecking her life. I mean, she was in pieces. And when we had the funeral at our building, and the casket was right here, and she was there, and it was time for the funeral to start, and it was 5 minutes after the time, and she would not leave that casket. She was not leaving that casket. She was going to stay with it. And we had to just sort of tenderly try to pull her away. And I can remember as I did the funeral, she was sitting right here on the front chair, and I can remember her face, and I can remember the just the anguish that she was going through. And I can remember a few days before that visiting at her house, and she described her mom. She described how good of a lady she was and how, you know, her personality and her ways and stories about how she helped people and what she meant to her. And man, when I looked down at how pitiful she was at her mom's funeral, I remember thinking, man, she's really alone now. I mean, this she's alone in life. And I can remember her telling me something about her mom. She said, you don't understand, she wasn't just my mom. She was my best friend. Her mom had been a great mom. But as she grew up and became a woman herself, they began to relate to one another as adults, and they had had a very healthy and deep friendship. And the truth is, the last time I saw this lady, she had never found anybody to be an equal to her mom. She had never had another friendship come into her life to replace that spot. Now here's where I want you to follow me. To which Solomon, the wisest man, the smartest man who ever lived, would counsel us this morning. I only gave you the first half of the verse, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. But Solomon would counsel her, and Solomon would counsel all of us today, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, all the relationships that we have in life, as important as they are and as helpful as they are and as beautiful as they are and as even necessary as they are, they're all still limited. But there is an unlimited relationship that you and I can have that the Bible describes, Solomon described to his son. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Christ. His name is Jesus. And the essence of the Christian faith, when you boil it down to its most fundamental component, it's relational in nature. Christianity has its creeds, we have our doctrines, we have our sacraments, we have water baptism, which is a phenomenal and a beautiful event, we have communion, which is a deep and a rich event, and they are beautiful. But what makes Christianity different from every religion in the world is that it's all about a God who extends a personal friendship to the likes of you and me. That's what makes it different. He doesn't give us circumstantial friendship. He doesn't say, I'll be there when these circumstances happen. He doesn't give us seasonal friendship. He doesn't say that I'll be there for a while and then I'll leave for a better friend or a different friend or a different job or a different country or a different location. He doesn't even have a here to the end friendship. God's friendship doesn't end. It extends into the next life. He doesn't give those limited forms. And sometimes I wonder in the South, sometimes I wonder in the Bible Belt, sometimes I wonder in a room crowded with churchgoers and a few others who've kind of ducked in here for a few other reasons. Sometimes I wonder how clear we are about that. Sometimes I wonder how clear that is in your mind. Do you grasp your relationship with God as a friendship? Do you grasp your salvation? Do you grasp Christianity in a practical and everyday kind of way as a friendship? Christianity is not about a bunch of hoops that you jump through. It's not about giving the answer right on a membership card. Christianity is a living friendship with God. Do you experience your faith as a relationship with God between Sundays? Do you experience your faith as a living relationship with God? Do you seek to hear God in the same way that you would a friend? How many of you, I want to push a little bit this morning, because this is such a critical thing. How many of you, throughout the course of an average day, you feel God kind of reaching out to you, saying, hey, you don't have to do this day by yourself. Give this over to me. Give this problem over to me. Give this thing to me. Talk to me. Come to me. Get to know me. Is it natural for you to reach out to God on a friendship basis, or is that a big event for you? Is that something that, man, when you hear from God or you talk to God, you go and tell somebody about it because it doesn't happen very often. Is it natural? When you have an emotional, relational connection with God, it changes everything. And I really hope this is true for you, because what separates Christianity from every religion in the world is that friendship. And the truth is, if you don't have that friendship, Christianity functions like many other religions in the world if you don't have a relationship. It just becomes a list of do's and don'ts and a list of ought to's, and I ought to do this, and I ought to get to church, and I ought to read my Bible, and I ought to get better, and I ought to do right, and I ought not to gossip, and I ought to do this, and I ought to do that. And it becomes dogma and religion, and it basically leaves you, listen to this, feeling empty and all by yourself. It leaves you feeling alone, with no one to turn to and no one who you can count on or no one who wants to help you. Without relationship, your faith has structure, but it has no substance. It just rings hollow. And we have to call it what it is: friendless. Like a functional orphan. You're just on your own. And if you feel that way, Solomon, the smartest guy who ever lived, says, let me tell you what God has made available to you through Christ. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend whose funeral you'll never have to attend because he's never going to die. A friend who won't move away or jump to another relationship. A friend that won't leave you orphaned. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. This week I had to go in for an outpatient procedure. I had a little knee surgery. And when they go in the little room and you get all the hospital clothes on and they get all the little marks on you that they want and they put the IV in you and all that stuff, give you a little shower cap, and you know, you feel like a first-rate fruitcake, and you're laying there strapped down, you know. And look, everything you own's gone. You got no jewelry. You got no identifying marks. You got no driver's license. You got nothing. You're gone. You're nothing. You're done. You're laying there, and then the family's got to go, and you're laying there in the room by yourself. I was laying there this week, and you know, the nurse would come in and out. I was appreciative because they came in and asked 7 different times, now what are we operating on? And I thought, I appreciate that because I won't be aware. And I don't want you to take out anything you can't put back. So this is good. But you're laying there, and as they leave the room and the door shuts, you sit there and you look around at this white, sterile room, and you realize, you know, none of these people coming in and out of the room are really my friends. I mean, they're just doing their job, and they're friendly, and I'm glad. But they're not really my friends. Really have an honest or a deep relationship with anybody here. I really am alone. I mean, family has to go. Everybody's got to get out. About to, and they're wheeling you down the hallway to the little surgery room. And the door's open, and you. And in those moments, you sit there and you think for a minute and say, "You know, I really am alone." And so, as the people would come in and out of the room between those breaks, I would just, my mind just drifted to God, and I would just pray. And I just say, Lord, I'm glad I know you, and I'm glad you're here with me. And it was just a little reminder that I'm really never alone. Nobody who knows God's alone. Nobody who has a friendship with God's ever alone. I'll never leave you or forsake you, he said. And so my heart was just kind of comforted and rested in the room as I said, you know, I'm really never by myself. And I think it's very important for us to be alone. Because I think it's when we're alone that it reminds us that God's there. When we live with all the noise and when we live with all the pace that we live on, we never get to experience aloneness or loneliness. And in those rare moments that we do, it turns our heart around to start to search for what else that there is. And that search is a great thing, because when you have a friendship with God, it's a short search. You go, there you are. Well, I'm glad you're here. God, I'm glad you're here. And so I want to say to you this morning, go ahead and if you want to live your life always on the go and always at the ball field and always closing another deal and taking new ground. And if you want to live a noisy life, just checking the religious boxes so that you'll feel like a Christian, but never really spending time alone, never really spending time alone so you can reap a friendship with God, you can live that way if you want to, but it's your loss. It's your loss. See, I can't find God for you, and you can't find God for me. We got to find Him on our own. You can't contract that out to somebody else. But what we can do is we can encourage each other. We can encourage each other toward God. And that's what I came to do today. I don't know what else church is for. I can't figure out what else it is that we do. So I came to encourage you on toward a relationship with God. Because He's a friend. The truth is, I wrote and I thought and I tried to figure out the best way how I could say this the way I feel it. And the truth is, I don't know how to say it the way that I feel it. The truth is, I can't really explain a relationship with God to you, but you know one when you got one. I don't really know how to put it in words. So this morning, how's your relationship? We're about to sing an old school song I remember singing when I grew up in a little small church of 35 people with a piano and an organ. And this old song, and it's not special because it's old. It's because I heard it a lot as a kid and it meant nothing to me until I had a friendship with God. And then later on, the song began to mean something to me because I understood what the song meant. What a friend we have in Jesus. And in a minute, we're going to stand and sing it. Matter of fact, stand with me. In a minute, we're going to stand and sing it. As we start to sing it, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. What some of you are going to do when we start to sing it. Come on, prayer team. What you're going to do, some of you are going to want to throw your hands up in there and say, yes, thank God, I found a friend. I know what you're talking about. I've been there and I felt it. And I've been through tough times. But I just want to lift my hands today and say, I know what you mean. I know what a friendship with God is like. That's what some of you are going to want to do. And some of you are going to be feeling when we sing it, you're going to say, I hear you, but the truth is, I'm just kind of a check-the-box Sunday morning kind of Christian, and I live a good moral life, and I believe I'm going to heaven, but I don't know what that closeness feels like. I don't know what God's voice sounds like. And today, as we pray, I'm going to invite you to come to prayer, and I'm going to invite you to lock arms with one of our prayer teams and say, would you agree with me that my relationship, my friendship with God's going to grow? That's it. Step. Some of you here this morning and you say, I know what that friendship is, but just like the song says, man, I got this burden. There's some stories happening in our church I wish I had time to tell you. The burden that people are carrying, unbelievable. Some of you here this morning, you got a burden. Maybe you didn't even hear anything I said because your mind's so weighed down this morning. I want to encourage you. That friendship with God is for you. And when we stand and sing it, I want you to come to prayer and just ask one of the prayer team, this is the burden that's on my mind. This is the thing that's on my mind. Bring that burden to Christ. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this morning, as you come and bring it, man, I'm telling you, the weight of that thing will lift up off your shoulders. You've got a friend that's closer. You might be here and say, I don't have a friendship with God. I'm not sure at all, but I sure would like to start one. Man, today when we pray, I want you just to come and say, would you pray for me that God will help me start a friendship with Him? I want what you talked about. I want to leave this room with you today. Look, I know it's late, but man, I'm telling you, I don't think this is just what church is about. I think this is what life's about. And I don't want to just drag you out and hold you, but man, can you just give a 2 or 3 more minutes for this moment and just close your eyes? And here's what I want you to do. Every eye closed, you say, yes, I know he's a friend, but I've got a burden today. Would you just lift your hand and say, that's me? Man, I got a burden on my shoulders. Come on, just lift it up. See, I got a burden on my shoulders today. Man, I'm carrying something. It's heavy. It's heavy. It's heavy. I want you to come to prayer in a minute. If you're here and you say, man, I'm saved, but man, I don't have that tight friendship, and I want to get that going today. Would you lift your hand and say, I want to come into agreement today that my friendship with God's going to go deeper now. Something's going to happen to me this morning, and I'm going to start to hunger and to thirst, and my appetite's going to raise. Come on, just lift that hand up and say, that's me. God's stirring you. Man, I see it. I see it. And then this morning you say, I want to start a friendship with God. If that's you, lift your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. I want to start a friendship. I want to start one. Yeah, I see your hand. Put it back down. Yeah. Yeah. All right. With your voices, with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, as we go to prayer and worship, and you start to come for prayer, the worship team starts to sing, Lord Jesus, this morning, I thank you for friendship with God. I thank you that it's not exclusive, it's not a clique, it's not a membership to nothing. Lord, your son died and you invited us into friendship with you. And I thank you that we have a friend today that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, receive us today and we